Media manager.
Are you really maximizing your minutes?
Motivator.
Never, never, ever quit.
Mentor.
You gotta pay it forward.
This.
I punch failure in the face.
Is the Go Get It podcast.
Now that you know that, go get it.
Hey, 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 this is Issa Lopez, and you can hear me at issavoice.com. But now, you're listening to the Incredible Hulk's anger management coach, Corey Disson.
Issa, let me tell you, getting that big green guy to take a chill pill is no easy task. I've gotten the broken couches and a few rounds of drywall repair to prove it. Thank goodness I can always count on our deep voice show announcer, Mr. Mark Peoples at markpeoples.com, to forever be as cool as a cucumber. This is the Go Get It podcast, where we try to take a quick, fresh look at the topics, influencers, and issues that affect the voiceover world. But we are known to stray off course and tickle anything else that might be of interest, especially if it helps motivate you to go get it. The Go Get It podcast is sponsored by VO Life Clothing. Live the VO life in style with gear that speaks volumes. T-shirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, and more to show you're living the VO life with pride. Get some at VOLifeClothing.com. And if you're looking for 5 steps to help achieve the voiceover dream, you can go to CoreyDisson.com and just click Get the eBook. Now, in the intro, we happen to talk about the Incredible Hulk, who, of course, is strong as hell and he's tough as nails. So on today's show, we get to hang with another tough and strong superhero. And his special power is the ability to represent and grow the careers of killer voice talent like Jim Birdsall of NFL Films, Ryder from the CW, or the legendary Earl Mann from WCBS, among many others, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to the founder of ACM Talent, the amazing Mark Gus.
Corey, first time, long time.
I love it. First time, long time. I've graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, been a big fan forever. Now you have great podcasts. I'm really honored to be part of it.
I'm honored to have you here with me. You've been someone I've wanted to have on the show for a long time. I really thank you for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule. I've literally heard the subway in the background talking to you on the phone, trying to set stuff up. You're always hustling. And mad respect for you, and I'm glad you're going to, like I said, eke out 15 minutes or so to hang out with us today.
Thanks, man. Same here.
So tell me something. When people hear your name, Mark Gus, it's analogous with agent, but you're not really an agent. You're a talent manager. What's the difference between management and being an agent?
Well, I was an agent, right? So the landscape has definitely changed. You know, this is the most exciting and evolving time in our industry's history, voiceover included. Before I launched ACM with my business partner, Phil Sutphin, who was the overseer of the commercial department at ICM here in New York, I remember being at William Morris and I was sitting at my desk and I get calls from voiceover managers to asking me to submit my talent. And I was observing how managers in voiceover were just different than any other type of manager in the industry. And, you know, they were very proactive, especially in the search for top-notch voiceover opportunities for their clients. So it was the furthest from stereotypical management hand-holding where letting the agents do the primary heavy lifting was the case, and management were commissioning the same career 10% as the agents were. So, the clients who were with them were pretty much 20%ers collectively with the agents. And, you know, there were also and still are theatrical managers who may collect 10% from talent's voice from a talent's voiceover world without even being involved in voiceover at all. So, you know, I carefully looked at this model, and so basically the management table in voiceover was pretty much set. You know, I was always used to, you know, creating something out of nothing, created the first promo department at Abrams, created the first radio imaging representation business in the industry at William Morris. the first radio broadcast department at William Morris. So, you know, I saw that management was there in voiceover, but it was primarily representation for movie trailers and a sprinkling of promos. And the commission model was still at 10% of all existing voiceover work, primarily from agents, because the VO talent entrepreneur was either non-existent at the time or extremely new, because that was the time that the first pay-to-play sites were launching. So it got me thinking that not only do we have to go where the industry was headed, but to do it in the most extraordinary way, which is to have representation in management, in VO, for the first time, be super inclusive, super diverse. So we're representing talent. This isn't just about movie trailers. This isn't just about radio imaging. This is about a group of seasoned, high-level veteran agents who came together and are representing talent for commercials, promos, trailers, ADR, digital, corporate, politicals, reality TV, you know, and it goes on. Radio imaging, you know, we're, going to be launching that in a very big way shortly too. So there's just, it's really voiceover from A to Z, and that's what talent should be, you know, we're mirroring what talent should be looking for in a career in 2019, 2020 and beyond.
Wow. That's, I mean, you're certainly covering a broad spectrum.
Yeah. I mean, it's what talent want and what talent should be striving for, because there's the industry is just very ripe for diversity. That's where everything is headed. It's just not old school anymore. So you really have to be thinking differently.
You know, you mentioned a couple key words that got my attention, that, you know, you said the voiceover entrepreneur. It's not just the talent anymore. They're, you know, they are the, yes, they have to speak behind the mic, but they're also doing the books, and they're also, you know, scrubbing the floors, so to speak. And they're also doing their own marketing, which is huge. And, you know, for the talent that don't have the luxury or the privilege or the advantage to work with a Mark Gus or an ACM, or even for those that do, that are out there pounding the pavement, trying to direct business to themselves, how important do you think, and I would love to hear your take on this, you know, how important is it for a talent to really be able to brand and market themselves anymore in this day and time on social media?
Well, super important. And we did that very carefully starting a little over 4 years ago on Twitter, and looking at the social media, Twitter landscape, Instagram landscape, et cetera. You don't really see that out there globally, where there are agents or managers, anyone on the representation side who's really digging in that way. I mean, I've put out challenges on Twitter to look for talent because there's so many people out there who are fantastic. And, you know, we've signed people on Twitter. That's to me, the future of everything, to be able to communicate on social media. So it's very important for talent in 2019 and 20 and beyond to look at themselves as a business, as being an entrepreneur. Like, you really don't have a choice in this day and age. Like, the old guard who relied on agents for years are unfortunately disappearing. And, you know, while the new guard who are, you know, there's a lot of great talent out there and we're uncovering it every day, you know, they're hustling. And they're maximizing their potential with social media. So the opportunities and business that you can get and build for yourself in any area of VO, with your talent, of course, is at least an appealing portfolio that you can use as a calling card for potential representation. Because your demo isn't enough anymore. There's a lot more that you need to walk in with these days. And you're able to communicate that much more on social media. You're able to throw a snippet of a new spot that you just did and get someone's attention. You know, we're doing that as well. I mean, we're highlighting, we're showcasing our talent on my Instagram feed, or, you know, there's just some words of advice that I just feel is so important. I'm sitting at my desk and you know, when something comes to mind and something just happened that day, whether it's a buyer telling me that, you know, they have to have this deal run in perpetuity, which is a big no-no, you know, I immediately take to Twitter and get that out there and make sure that the community knows what's happening on our end, and, you know, and communicating the message of staying firm, you know, and it's been, you know, very successful. We've really interacted in a high level way with the voiceover community around the world.
So when talent are responsible now, and I'm using your terminology, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, they need to come armed with more than their demo. Yeah, you got to have chops. You got to be able to perform that copy. But when you're marketing yourself, you have to have more than just that demo. You really need to have a unique selling position to brand yourself. You know, and there's, I see so many talent out there doing it. I'm obviously preaching it to the people that I speak to, that, you know, you got to have something that makes you stick out and makes you memorable. What would you say is ACM's unique selling position?
Well, our company mirrors what talent want and need now and beyond. You know, our unique position in the industry is that although we're not agents, we're doing what we've always done in our careers, but we're doing much more. You know, we have an open door policy as far as communicating with our talent. Every manager is open every day, and have the, you know, our clients have the opportunity to speak about their career, dig in about opportunities, about what's happening with their agents, with demos. You know, so we've already created the most diverse, high-end voiceover talent representation company as managers, where, you know, we don't want to represent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients like we used to at the agencies. You know, under our roof, which includes myself and Phil Sutphin and Andrew Akin, you know, Phil and I started together way back at SEM&M, which was the top commercial agency in New York. And then he went on to ICM, and I was at Willie Morris. And Andrew heads up our West Coast operations, where he's handling trailers. Because, you know, trailers has been a huge element in management. So, of course, we needed to make sure that that was a huge part of our business, too. So Andrew was digging in with the trailer buyers. And Robin Starr just came over from Don Buchwald and Associates. And I worked with Robin before I was at William Morris. So I worked with all of my colleagues who were at ACM prior. And, you know, Robin comes over. She's like this tremendous commercial voiceover superstar, agent. And, you know, I always thought she had the greatest taste in talent. And so on a daily basis, we're working on commercials, promos, narrations, trailers, corporate, digital, you know, just about everything VO. And the days of an agent going out there from the agent side to embark on a career as an agent, I'm bringing this up because it's just important to understand what's going on the representation side and how it correlates to talent. It used to be where an agent would, you know, maybe start out as and have a career as a quote-unquote promo agent, right? Or an imaging agent, or, you know, an animation agent. But it doesn't look like that is the future where it's going in the future. It really is about an agent being an agent being an agent. That's what Harry Abrams told me years ago. But it really is about an agent having the diverse portfolio under their own roof to be able to provide those opportunities for their talent. So you better, as an agent, be as diversified as possible, because, you know, the now and certainly the future is all about diversity. So it's not, if you think that you need to ask an agent to get you in touch with the promo agent, that's just a that's an old school way of thinking, because we've booked, and I've personally booked clients who are really more commercial oriented, and they've, you know, turned into major promo people, having major promo accounts, and that's what promo producers are looking for. So there's a real common thread more and more these days, and more, and it will be more and more in the future for, you know, talent to be able to cross over into different areas without having to tell their agent, you know, or manager, you know, I want to get into promos. Everyone's into promo. By the way, everyone's into promo. Everyone who we represent, they're into promos. They're into, they're getting opportunities every day in promos, in narrations, in trailers. Okay. So that is just, you know, I think a lot of representation are still working in this, you know, here's a list. This is how old this person is. So they'll be submitted for that. And they're more an announcer. So we're really not going to look after them for commercials and vice versa. You know, we're, on the other hand, we're not going to really be giving this commercial, conversational voice too many promos, too many promo opportunities. It's just not the case. It's all about diversity. And that's what our unique position is.
So with this diversity that you've built up, obviously you have sort of an all-star superhero cast of coworkers, or you know, folks actually dealing with the talent. You mentioned Phil and Robin, et cetera. And then you also talked about, you know, and Andrew, of course, how you have to be nimble and sort of ambidextrous if you're going to be represented by ACM. So my question is knowing that you know, it definitely sounds like you have a finger on the pulse, you're forward thinking, you're looking beyond just what's in, you know, the 30 days ahead for your talent. Is there a genre, is there an area of voiceovers that you see is getting ready to make a big splash? It might be really fertile ground for folks.
Well, it's making a splash. It's commercials. Like, commercials is and will always be the centerpiece of a voiceover career. In fact, if you're going to send me a demo, it has to be a commercial. By the way, if you're going to send me a demo, it has to be a commercial demo, and it has to be a commercial demo done right. And we all know what the, I'm not going to get into. We can reference, you know, other podcasts that you have about what a commercial demo should look like, or we can do a podcast, another one, and get into what demos should look like and feel like. And you should also be including a lot more than a demo, because I'll get a one sentence introduction and that'll be it, saying, you know, to whom it may concern, here's my commercial demo. And it might not even be produced, or it might just have that. I don't know what they're about. I don't know who their agents are. I don't know what they're doing account-wise. I don't know. You know, I just don't know. So you have to be really careful when it comes to submissions, because it is a pretty small world. It still is. And, you know, you want to put your best foot forward. But as far as commercials go today, the fertile ground is commercials as it relates to digital and social. You know, years ago, this was unheard of. You know, I had a breakdown. You know, we were working on something a little while ago that came in, and it's coming in more and more, but I was a little surprised to hear, but it just was a wake-up call when one of our, you know, exclusive companies who we work with said, well, this is going to run on Instagram for 3 months. Okay. That's like unheard. I mean, that was unheard of obviously years ago, because the old school model of the big national network commercial and waiting for it is a tough one, because you're going to see a lot less of it. You're seeing a lot less of it already, of those, you know, whether it's a car campaign that lasts 3-4 years, and it's a mid six figure to seven figure account. I'm not saying they're not there. There's just not a lot of it. So it really is more of a volume business. The pay to play world had, I'm not saying that they changed it, but they had an influence on it, and they actually played to, it just happened to coincidentally be the business model of the future, which is, you know, continued volume. And, you know, everyone's working, I think, even harder these days. Actually, you could work from home for the most part. I'd say, you know, 95% or higher of talent are working from home or should be working from home. And you really should have a great setup. You should have the ability to be, you know, to be trained somewhat as your own engineer. So, you know, it's the commercial world is still always going to be the core of everything. It's just evolving into the social media / digital sphere.
Gotcha. And you hinted on a couple of other things. You know, you kind of bled into a little bit about what your commercial demo should look like, what that message should look like that accompanies the demo. You know, and this is kind of like the golden question that the working ham and egg, roll your sleeve up, blue collar voiceover guy, he's doing it full time. You know, he's not rich on it yet, but, you know, he's earning a living, but they're looking to make that next leap to that next echelon, which is generally getting represented by an agent or a management company. You know, what tip, maybe you could pay it forward a little bit, what might help? And this is, by the way, this does not mean Mark's going to answer your call right away, folks, for you listening to this. But for those who are seeking representation, what should talent X or Y do to maybe to get noticed, to enter your orbit?
Well, before I get to the catch 22, it takes coaching, learning, mentorship, a lot of patience. You know, if you're in it, you're in it for the long haul. You know, when we sign a talent, it's not like we're signing a ton of talent because we're keeping it really tight at our company. But when we take someone on, I don't know. I mean, we've seen people book in the first week, in the first 3 weeks, you know, then we've seen people book in 3 months or 6 months, you know, hit it really big, or maybe after a year, you know, hit it really big. So, you know, if you're in it for the long haul, it's not like you're going to throw your hands up and say, you know, this is not for me. Like, this is your career. So we don't make the ultimate decisions as far as who's booking what. But if you want to get into the next level of voiceover, you really have to be prepared with the foundation of being really good. And that's a combination, like I said, of coaching and mentorship, et cetera. But the catch 22 is that if you want to be represented by a high level representation company, you also have to bring a great deal of your own business as an entrepreneur to the table. Now, years ago, that really wasn't too easy because you really, you know, the voiceover entrepreneur wasn't really a term or a reality. You know, today you're able to do as much as you can, and we touched on this with, you know, with social media, doing your own marketing, and if you're able to hustle, you know, you're coming in with a mentality that we're in it together. And if, you know, if you could show an agent or a manager that, you know, you're in the game and you're not just sitting there and waiting for opportunities, I would say that's probably beyond the talent and the demo and everything. You know, that shows the agent or the manager that, you know, you have more of what it takes than the next person because you're actually being hired, you're actually working, you're actually, you know, you've created business. But the chances of you creating for yourself the higher level opportunities is probably not going to be there. You know, that's more for the managers, you know, and higher level agents who are working on the higher level commercial campaigns, whether it's national network or digital or social. You know, as well as working with networks on promos, the new voice of a network, higher end projects, radio imaging, etc.
So I'm okay. So good. So I would imagine, and you hinted to this just a second ago, that, you know, sure, if you notice that talent X hustles, markets themselves, has developed their own book of business, you know, you as Market ACM and your team can come in and mentor them and give them that bump to get them to the next level that they couldn't otherwise get on their own.
Right.
And it's in that spirit of mentorship. I mean, that it's a huge thing in our industry. I mean, I can say it just for myself. I'm not sitting, you know, having the privilege to speak to you. If it wasn't 30 years ago, guys like Paul Turner and Tim Sabian didn't take me under their wing and show me the ropes. You know, who did that for Mark Gus?
Well, just back to what you just said about talent wanting to take that bump. It's not for everyone, because there are talent out there who have their own business. Let's say they have a very vibrant e-learning business, right? Which is, you know, not the traditional type of business that an agent, you know, would necessarily bring to them, and they're doing really well. Someone could be making, you know, mid to low six figures, low to mid six figures, high six figures, you know, just doing e-learning, cranking out books on tape. But if they want to have that, that bump, you know, like you said, you know, it really is going to take, you know, a team around them to, you know, to get there. And like I said, it's okay. Everyone can be okay with their own business, but I think the real entrepreneur is going to strive for more and the biggest and most successful career all around. And so as far as my mentor, you know, I've had a few. My first job that franchised me as an agent was Fred Schiffman. SEM&M was the top commercial agency in the 90s, and he hired me as an assistant, and he represented James Earl Jones. Now, James Earl Jones, obviously legendary, but at the time was just such a commodity in voiceover that Fred would do, you know, Fred negotiated an exclusive worldwide deal for him that, you know, didn't allow him really to do any other voiceovers. It was that big a deal for a telecommunications company. And I watched Fred, I was sitting in his office just watching him do his thing. And he was really intense. And it was just a real thrill to just watch him do his, you know, his work on a daily basis. We actually reunited recently and worked together on a pretty big deal. So, you know, he's retired in Palm Springs, and you know, we joked around that I pulled him out for a minute, and he had a lot of fun with it. But at the office, when I would have a conversation with him that wasn't really voiceover or entertainment related, he would actually, and I would appreciate this, he would actually tell me that if this is not an income generating conversation, I'm really not interested right now.
Wow.
But it's kind of true. Like I've seen agents or worked with agents over the years who had zero problem having talent come into their office and sit on the couch for a good 2-3 hours and just chatting. And I never got that. I never understood it. I mean, there is just, you know, a limit to, you know, where, you know, you have to play that, you know, both sides of it. But, you know, he was definitely on the flip side of it. I mean, he would treat an order. I would go down and get a sandwich for him that was delivered. And if the egg sandwich wasn't done right, like, he would treat that that as seriously as a high level talent negotiation. So wow. I had to be very careful. Yeah.
That better be one good egg sandwich. That's all I can tell you.
Exactly.
That's unbelievable. Mark, I mean, speaking of, you know, sitting around and talking and income producing activities and the value of time, you've been extremely generous with your time with me today. I can't thank you enough for being a guest today on the Go Get It podcast.
Thanks for having me, Corey. I'm really impressed with it. I was telling you before, I think you should do your own radio show, but we'll discuss that another time.
Yes, that'll be phone call number two when I'm looking for some representation, so I'll know who to call. But hey, a reminder that today's show was brought to you by VO Life Clothing. High fives to our show announcer, Mark Peoples, today's featured voice talent, Issa Lopez, and to our producer, Christopher Disson, multi-talented Pro Tools aficionado, and proof that nepotism is still alive and well. Don't forget that if you're looking for five steps to help achieve the voiceover dream, go to CoreyDisson.com and click Get the eBook. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you next time. Until then, you know what we say around here, go get it.